This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Atlanta! You know what's going on. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a tough day for all of us here in the wonderful city of Atlanta and Georgia and for the world of Major League Baseball and sports. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Yeah. It's a tough day, man, to hear the passing of the great Henry Aaron today. Mike, and we'll share our experiences, and we'll have guests that will join us, including Hall of Famer Chipper Jones here in just a few minutes. But been reflecting today, as I know many of you have, and, you know, whether you grew up watching Hank, whether you heard the stories of Henry Aaron and how great he was, a tough day, certainly. I will say this, passing away in your sleep, Mike, for Henry Aaron at the age of 86, going quietly, you know, no suffering, and not that that makes it any better, but I will say that he will be sorely missed.
Yeah, I mean, just beyond iconic, you know, when you think about what he meant to so many folks here in Atlanta, so many folks around the country, so many folks, you know, and you think about the time and place and when he played and the things that he endured and the things that he accomplished, and then after baseball and the business world here in Atlanta and the things that, you know, he was involved in. I think back to, I think it was like a year ago, when they had him on TBS. Remember when they had, I should say on Fox Sports South, when they had him on with Ambassador Andrew Young?
Yes.
And that was really kind of cool. So, I mean, it was, in hindsight, because of how weird this last year was, it was kind of a last chance for folks to hear Hank Aaron speak. And, again, we're going to talk to Andrew Jones, and I believe Chipper Jones is ready to roll.
He is Hall of Famer Chipper Jones joining us here on Dukes and Bell on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's place to get a Ford. And I'll say this, Chipper, you know, I know you're doing the rounds today and everybody's asking you a variety of questions about Henry Aaron. I don't want to talk about the baseball to start. I just want to talk about the human being he was and what kind of man he was, because for me and my experiences, that's the thing that stands out. And I think a lot of people, you know, that didn't get to know him on a personal level, like you, what would you say to those folks?
Just a beautiful human being. He was a transcendent player in baseball history, but he was also a transcendent human in American history. To have played the game of baseball and put up with what he had to deal with early on in his career, and then to embark on a journey that would take him to the brink of breaking one of the most hallowed records, you know, in the game of baseball, and all the pressure that was put on him, not just by, you know, playing the game, representing his team, breaking the record, but having the weight of, you know, all African Americans, you know, kind of not really riding his coattails, but like hanging on everything that he did, man, you want to talk about pressure.
Right.
Most people would have wilted and quit, you know, under that kind of pressure, but not Hank. Hank had too much drive, had too much determination. And one thing I'll say about Hank, he was the most, at least when I met him, he was one of the most laid back guys. He just had this aura about him, this inner peace, this confidence that, like, he knew the question before you were going to ask it, and he certainly knew the answer to it. Right. You know, he was just a phenomenal human being, and I'm so glad that he has been the pillar, you know, the guiding light of our organization for as long as I've been here and way before that.
It's a Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones, guys, with us here on Dukes and Bale on the WadeFord.com hotline. And how much interaction did you have when you were coming up in the Braves organization? How much did you guys get to see a Hank or later in your career?
Not enough. I know that, you know, Bobby and Snit certainly would have welcomed him as much as possible, because how can you not, as a player, want to sponge off, if not the greatest, certainly one of the top two or three. I know that's certainly debatable, you know, through the years and whatnot, but one of the greatest players to ever, you know, play the game, you know, and I think what was funny was watching. So, you know, me being around all the time, you know, I saw Hank, I interacted with Hank. I'm sitting here looking at my only picture that I ever had with Hank Aaron. And but the funny thing was to watch guys who were new to the organization come in, and Hank would walk through the clubhouse and just see it was like a god was walking by, you know, I mean, it was, you know, their eyes were as big as silver dollars, their mouth was wide open. It was just like they knew they were in the presence of greatness, but you would have never known it having gotten to know Hank. You know, he wasn't a home run king. He was just humble and just one of the most classiest people that I've ever met.
Braves legend, Major League Baseball legend, sports legend, Henry Aaron passing away at the age of 86. It's Dukes and Bell, and we're talking to Chipper Jones here on the program. I know you hit a lot of home runs, and then you start looking at this guy, and you go 40 home runs 8 times, right? And then you go, he hit 20 plus in 20 consecutive seasons. And then, Chipper, you go, wait a minute. He's been retired now, it seems like, forever, and the RBI record is still his, over 2,297 RBI, just to put in that perspective of how damn good this guy was.
Yeah, so we are all Earthlings, and he played for the Galactic All-Stars. he was on a different level. So when I was saying my goodbyes and kind of riding off into the sunset myself, I saw a video of Hank, and he was talking. He was, you know, obviously talking about me, and he said, "Chipper Jones is a Hall of Famer in his own right, and I hope when he gets inducted, they put his plaque right next to mine." I chuckled at that because and the next time I saw him, I went up to him and I said, "Hey, I hope they put my plaque right next to yours too, because I know every person that walks into Monument Hall, they're going to Hank Aaron's plaque to see it, and if they see yours, they're gonna see mine, because if they put mine in a different corner, ain't nobody coming to see mine, you know." So obviously, being one of the greatest players of all time, you want to go see Hank Aaron's plaque, you know, there in Monument Hall. And I just thought it brings chills to my, you know, that you couldn't measure with a yardstick, you know, whenever I think about, you know, one of the greatest of all time accepting me, you know, into the Hall of Fame and saying those nice things about it is something I'll never forget.
That is so awesome. It's Chipper Jones with his guys, a Hall of Famer. And again, it's a high traffic zone. You're right, where Hank is. And just talk about it, Chipper, as a professional hitter that you were. The guy, if he doesn't hit a home run, he's still got 3,000 base hits, which is just mind-blowing.
that's a whole lot of, you know, flipping balls into right field. Like you said, almost 2,300 RBIs, you know, they're not all coming on round trippers. He's, you know, flipping that single to right field, going with it, hitting the ball up the, you know, up the middle, up the box, two outs and a guy in scoring position. I just, you know, when you think about how many RBIs 2,300 is, I honestly think, and, you know, and I think, you know, Pujols could I think he's up around 2,000, if I'm not mistaken, pretty close to 2,000, and could probably scare it. But that's a number. First of all, you don't see guys play 22, 23, 25 years anymore, you know, and, you know, once you hit 40 years old in baseball, that's, you're pretty much dead to everybody. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of production, you know, left after the age of 40. So I would have to put that at or near the top of one of those numbers in Major League Baseball that I don't think will ever be broken.
Chipper, we've lost a lot of Hall of Famers here recently. I mean, you know, Gibson, you talk about, you know, Joe Morgan, Seaver, Niekro. It's just, and now
just lost Don Sutton,
yeah, Don Sutton, the legendary, you know, Henry Aaron. I'm curious to know what you think this next Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be. We, you know, 2020 was crazy, and we know why, right? COVID-19. But as we move forward, what that celebration will be like, and how different it will be, but also how special it will be.
Yeah. Every Hall of Fame induction that I've been to, you know, there's one or two guys that, you know, have passed away, and we give tribute to them before we induct the next class. And I'm just afraid that, you know, with this tribute this year, if we do have an induction in July, that tribute is gonna last for hours. You know, I mean, with the Hall of Famers that have passed away, the MVPs, the Cy Youngs, the World Champions, the Hall of Fame people, humans that have passed away in the past 10 to 12 months, just it boggles my mind, and even more so, you know, the amount of Atlanta Brave royalty that we've lost in the last month with Nuxie and Don Sutton, and obviously, you know, the greatest of all time, Hank Aaron, is just, I'm scared to wake up in the morning and check my phone. You know, I mean, right. it just seems like gut punch after gut punch. But it's going to be a heck of a celebration of life for those men. You know, I'm just at a loss for words with the amount of loss that we've had, you know, to baseball royalty here in the last year. It's crazy.
Well, we do appreciate you coming on. Obviously, it's been it's a tough day for so many folks, as we said, to lose the guys in the Braves family as well. Just one last question, because I mentioned it with Carl the other day. I got a picture with Hank when I was, you know, 20 years ago, and I felt like a little kid, and my dad wasn't around. When you're meeting all these guys, are you like calling your dad, hey, by the way, guess who I just hung out with? Because I know how big baseball was to you growing up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I can remember my first day walking in the Braves clubhouse at old Fulton County Stadium after I got drafted in 1990. And the first three people that I met when I walked in the clubhouse was Hank Aaron, Dale Murphy, and Ron Gant, you know, and, you know, like I said, you want to talk about baseball royalty as far as the Braves go, you know, Dale Murphy stands up and he looks 7 feet tall. You know, just a huge human being. And then Ron Gant stands up, and he is not very tall, but just built like a brick house, you know. And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, you better get in the weight room, because these are grown-ass men playing this game up here. And then you meet, you know, the greatest of all time, and you shake his hand, and it literally engulfs your hand. He's got these huge forearms, Popeye forearms, and that let me know right away that I was not playing a game I was familiar with. You know, I was going to have to grow up in a hurry, but they certainly made an impression, and you know, certainly inspired me to become the player that I became.
Chipper, class act as always. We appreciate you, brother, coming on and sharing your memories and helping us remember the legendary Henry Aaron. We appreciate you today. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure, guys. Y'all be good.
You awesome. Too. Lots to get to. Lots to talk about. And throughout the course of this show, 5 hours, we will certainly talk about Henry Aaron, his legacy, what he meant to Atlanta, what he meant to the world. We've lost a legendary figure today, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday as we get ready for championship weekend. It's Championship Sunday. NFC, AFC championship games going down. We'll certainly get into that. A little bit later on, Dave Archer is going to join us at 5:20. So we will talk football today. But obviously, with the news of Henry Aaron passing away, we're talking about this with you. We do have a question up for you on our social media site, on Twitter at Dukes and Bell 929, and just asking you a simple question. You know, what's your favorite memory of Henry Aaron on or off the field? And as you guys share with us on social media, we'll share those on the air with the rest of our listening audience. So a lot of folks have already hit us up there, but just go to at Dukes and Bell 929 and you can answer that question. Mike, thanks to Chipper Jones, by the way. If you're just joining us, he jumped on to start the show. Great to hear from the Hall of Famer and him reminiscing and recollecting about Henry Aaron and some great things that he had to say about Henry Aaron. But, Mike, I think anybody that had any interaction with Hank, just a little bit, you felt that compassion and what kind of person he was. And I think for those who got a chance to know him, and I was fortunate, I got a chance to spend some private time with him, which I'll share later, as my years of covering baseball, I just, you know, I think about the man he was. I rarely think about the things he went through to achieve what he did. But that is a big part of this too, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that we spoke about, you know, the first time I got a chance to interview him. And we had him on a few times here in Atlanta. But as I said to Chipper, man, Carl, I think it was like my second or third year doing Sports Talk Radio. So I literally was like, remember that time? You know, I was doing like the Paul McCartney, you know, with Chris Farley on SNL. But we also spent time talking about some of that stuff because at the time, I believe he had the car dealership and he had a lot of business interests. But I think it was like either a Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts. But it was over by Morehouse at the time, and he was talking about the importance of investing in the community and obviously helping, you know, black business owners and all the things that he brought up. And then we talked about the things that he went through. And I think sometimes people take it for granted, and you know, you certainly hope that, you know, other baseball players, you know, of this generation are aware of it, you know, because I mean the things that he went through and the ultimate irony is Chipper kind of touched on it. You know, he had to go with all this crap in the 50s, and then, you know, just when he comes up to the what should be the greatest time of his life, he's got to deal with all the stress and death threats and nonsense and racism and all that occurred that in 74 and 70 yeah 73 and 74 as he got close to the record.
Yeah, I remember asking him one time, I asked him how hard it was, you know, like, because I had heard stories from my parents, right? My parents grew up in the segregated South, like many of you guys. And so it's one thing to hear the stories and then for them to tell you how it was. And then it's another thing to have a sports star like this in front of you and you go, so how tough was it, right? And why did you do it? And he was just like, I sacrificed because I knew there would be others after me. And I thought that was just incredible to think about it that way. Not me and me in the moment. It was really about that. But I also think when you say hate mail daily, I just want you to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Every day you go to your mailbox, not one, multiple letters that have, I'm killing you, you will be dead, you're this, you're that, words I can't say on the radio. Every day. I mean, Mike, and on top of that, you know, people say, well, and then you go in the ballpark every day and you're performing. And you get spat on and you get deaf. Those things are just, it's amazing, man. It just is. It,
right.
It just
they would
really
have
amazing.
Kind of, and they would have the kind of grace and want to talk to anybody after his career is over. Correct. You know what I mean? That's the thing that you and I have talked about. We've talked about it a couple of times, you know, and you know, that whole generation of players, you know. I mean, that's why, you know, some guys, you know, like, you know, we talk about like Bob Gibson and all the guys, all these greats, you know, all these guys that we grew up with and maybe our dads talked about because we weren't lucky enough to see them play. And you couldn't imagine that. We always say to walk a mile in their shoes, you know, and I certainly hope that professional athletes understand that what these guys did and paving that way for them.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Henry Aaron. And again, we're just sharing. I think today is going to be that kind of unusual day because he deserves this and a lot more. Because, Mike, I think he is the most important sports figure as far as our city ever. Certainly, you know, if you want to put him in the pantheon of baseball stars and where he is, he's top three, okay, if you're asking me. All time, ever, right? And then sports figures. not just his sport, all sports, because of what he meant and then what he was able to achieve. So, you know, the idea that, you know, we'll ever see another Henry Aaron, I don't know if we ever will. I don't know if we'll ever see a Henry Aaron. We always talk about the next guy, and maybe it's, you know, a decade or two decades before we get a sense of an individual that might come along. But I just think all the difficulties and adversity he had to overcome, I don't think we'll ever see anybody quite like Henry Aaron.
Right. I mean, as in Jackie Robinson, you know, blazed the trail. People think, everything was fine after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. No, not even the case. I mean, by the time Hank Aaron won an MVP, the Red Sox haven't even had a black player yet. So, I mean, think about that, you know. So it is amazing when you look back. And again, baseball, no sport embraces the history like baseball does. And the part about Hank Aaron on Ken Burns' baseball doc, and again, you get a chance, you can watch it on YouTube. But I mean, yeah, just for younger guys who don't know the story, although we assume everyone does, it's just it's inspirational, and it's also heartbreaking that the man had to endure that crap.
So by the time the Braves get to Atlanta, which was 66, Henry Aaron had already been an all-star 10 times. He was an all-star for 20 straight years. But when he got here, he was already an all-star. And you know, to Mike's point about, you know, things being the way that they were at that time, he was already a great player. Mike, when did he win that MVP? 57?
57. Yeah, they went back-to-back to the World Series, the Milwaukee Braves, and the year they won it was 57.
So he won that MVP 1957. I mean, Mike, I think the military was just being integrated. You know, I mean, I'm being serious. So, you know, and I'm talking about you had obviously black units and white units, but there was just, that's just a different time. I don't know if people can even think about it and put it in context and then to be able to do what he did. But with that said, you know, I also believe Henry Aaron, when you talk about the baseball stuff, the numbers are amazing, but it's also the fact that he was just so approachable. And I thought the Chipper Jones story, talking about, you know, just messing with guys and walking through the clubhouse when new guys would come in, is so apropos, because that's the kind of guy he was. And it was all about baseball. He loved baseball. This was not a guy who did it for the money. He loved baseball. And that's the one thing, Mike, when I met him, the few times that I got to spend time with him, that's what was amazing to me. This wasn't like, so glad it's over. He missed it, you know?
Right. Well, the thing is, two things. Some folks have said, I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. Would you think that maybe we'd say, hey, no more 44. We'll retire that number for all professional sports teams in Atlanta. And then a couple of folks have brought up and that the fact that, again, the tributes will be pouring in. But the All-Star game, and again, hopefully we're back to some sense of normalcy, but the All-Star game at Truist Park, and obviously a chance to obviously pay tribute to the legendary Hank Aaron. There are a lot of folks. I remember when I got here after Turner Field was converted from the Olympic Stadium. I got here in 98, but a lot of folks thought it should have been Hank Aaron Stadium, you know, and the other people who talked about that are Hank Aaron, you know, Hank Aaron Field and all that. But at least with chance, again, for the All-Star game, how fitting that Hank will get even more honors and the family will get to see that happen.
I agree. I hope they do all of that. I really do. Guy just hit us up on social media. And by the way, you can follow us. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio shows, Dukes and Bell, 929. That's where you can find our question. And you respond, guys. We'll read some of those throughout the course of the show. What's your favorite memory of Hank Aaron on or off the field? And then obviously follow this radio station, 929 The Game. We're on Instagram as well, Dukes and Bell 929. Coming up, just so you guys know, we will be talking about the playoffs. Obviously, on Sunday, we'll get a complete breakdown with Dave Archer. Steve Coonan's on the way. Hawks back in action tonight. We do have a lot to get to. And Andrew Jones, as Mike mentioned, 340 for one of the best outfielders to ever do it, and one of the best Braves, as we'll talk to him also about Henry Aaron passing away today at the age of 86.
So again, guys, we appreciate it. And one thing I want to say also, because you mentioned, appreciate all the stuff we're seeing on social media, whether people grew up here in Atlanta or they saw Hank. I saw one guy hit us up on Twitter saying his dad, about the time that Hank was ready to hit the record, he bought three tickets in Houston. As the Braves were playing the Astros for a chance to see Hank Aaron. Guys that met him, whether it was like in passing at Hartsfield-Jackson or at the, you know, at the car dealership or whatever, and everybody just, you know, recollecting just how, like I was. You just feel like you were blessed. You got a chance to shake the man's hand, look him in the eye, and thank him for what he did.
404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always text the show as well. Many, many ways to interact as we remember Braves legend Hank Aaron today on Dukes and Bell. Jim Bell, we are glad that you are here with us on a Friday. I know a lot of people will obviously remember, Mike, Friday, January 22nd, 2021. as Henry Aaron passes this morning. He's passing his sleep. And, you know, the world is talking about this. And again, I don't know if all of you are on social media. Everybody just believes that, you know, everybody's on social media. Not everybody's on social media. But if you are on Facebook or if you are on Twitter or Instagram or any of these major platforms, you know, Mike, the world is talking about Henry Aaron. And I think, you know, that's reflective of the individual he was, but it's also reflective of, you know, the things he was able to accomplish. And so when sports figures, you know, pass away, we all remember their accomplishments on the field. But I think the Henry Aaron social aspect of this just made him and has made him over his years just a much bigger icon.
Right. I mean, you know, first off, you got, you know, the religion of baseball, right? And what he means to folks who are just hardcore baseball fans, right? Then you've got, you know, for African-American fans and people that you just said, like your parents or people who grew up and, you know, and know what the struggle was, you know, and all. I mean, it's just iconic. It's like there's a couple of guys, and you and I have talked about this. When Bill Russell walks in the room, it's like nobody's screwing around. You know, and remember, like we said, every time we've had Jim Brown on, it's like, Lord, don't let me ask a stupid question, you know, because when you're, it is funny. I remember we're talking to Jim Brown. I think it was at the Super Bowl. And, you know, I'm like, you know, as we reset, and Jim Brown joins us here, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, he's staring at me. Don't make eye contact with Jim Brown. But Hank Aaron, but that's the thing. Hank Aaron was so disarming. He was such, I mean, you know, the picture I've got, he's got his arm on, he's got his hand on my shoulder, you know, and he's, you know, I mean, I'm like a little kid. I literally, like, Mr. Aaron, and you and I, remember we just talked about this, what, like 10 days ago? I was like, damn, because I always feel like a jerk. Hey, can I get the autograph on it? So I got a great picture with Hank, and I know you've got him too, but it's just, he was such a sweet man to speak with. And again, I just think, when you think about it, if you think about a guy who's got a right to have a chip on his shoulder the size of the Rock of Gibraltar, right?
No
guys
doubt.
Who played in that era, but that was never, at least if he did, he never showed it ever, at least in our meetings and interactions.
Well, you know, the thing is the grace that he showed with fans that he didn't know if they really liked him or not, because you don't know who to trust, Mike, when you're getting all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking around and you're going, and he's talked about this publicly, you know, is this the guy that's going to kill me? You know, he was even at the ballpark.
Right.
Okay, so we're not talking, there was nowhere that he was necessarily safe. So, you know, with his grace, he always knew that it was almost like his duty to just be gracious and speak to people and you know, people that adored him and wanted to just shake his hand or whatever.
Right.
You've never heard a story where, man, Henry Aaron turned his back and told everybody to blame. Because it never happened.
And right, and think about like when he hits the, you know, the 715 at Fulton County Stadium. And I think it was Britt Gaston, Cliff Courtney are the guys, Georgia guys that run on the field. And you're thinking, and imagine what some of the people were thinking at the time. Oh, no. You know what I mean? If they just want to share it with Hank. And obviously, he's like, get the hell out of here. He's rounding between second and third and coming home. I spoke about it a few times. Another sidebar to Hank and hitting 715. I literally just got the picture this year, one of the things I ordered for Christmas, of Hank. And you see the ball in flight. Al Downing's coming through his follow-through. But Craig Sager is one of the guys. He's a guy in the trench coat. Sager's there as Hank touches home base, just trying to get like 10 seconds of audio, and it was totally not supposed to be on the field. But I mean, there's so many great stories that surrounded that. But as you said, unfortunately, also the cloud of all the crap that he went through when it should be the greatest time of his life. As his career's winding down, he's coming to the milestone.
Yeah. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I have three stories I'll share between now and the end of the show. Each is uniquely mine, I mean, but I'm sharing them because, you know, when these things happen, you kind of just go, well, I don't think when you meet anybody that's iconic in this way that you go, you know, you think about this day. Like, right. You think about when they're not going to be here anymore. What you think about is it was cool to hang out or cool to meet them or whatever was done. And then you go, we'll see you next time. Because that's what we do. You're not thinking about this. So, you know, Mike, but I'll share a few stories of my own. But I'll say this, and I want you guys to hear the call because – again, you got to take yourself back to this moment. It sounds like a long time ago, but it's not. 1974 is not a long time ago. And so just for the millennials and people who, again, trying to get perspective of how big this moment was in sports. And you know, if you're of a certain age, we've seen a lot of various moments. But none was bigger than this moment right here.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world.
Vince Scully, man, nailing it.
Yeah, that call. You talk about iconic calls. Mm-hmm. You know, for all the moments we've seen, you know, and we say this, Mike and I always talk about this, there are moments we've seen with our own eyes because, you know, again, we didn't see it all. We haven't seen it all. We haven't been around that moment.
Right.
Okay? But then there are moments like that that when you watch the highlight and then you hear the stories around the moment and then you understand the gravity of the moment, and then what was going on and where it was going on. There's nothing bigger. There just isn't. Nothing bigger than that moment right there. And I don't know if we'll see another moment like that, Mike. You know, even when Barry Bonds, and this conversation today is not about Barry, but he's, you have to mention this because we had this conversation all the time as sports fans. Who's the home run king? There's only one. He passed away today. And I love Barry Bonds, okay? But even when Barry Bonds came along and was able to do what he did, it wasn't like this, and it didn't have this. You know what I mean?
No. And again, as we said, I don't want to diss Barry because I've always felt that Barry has to carry like an entire, you know, generation of crap on his shoulders when he had pitchers that were taking the stuff throwing to him. But of course, the writers, you know, made Barry the guy in the black hat, and unfortunately, Barry he made it a little easier for him at times. But again, and speaking of like the linkage of history, and why does Barry have an attitude? Because his uncle is Willie Mays, and Willie Mays and his dad had to go with a lot of crap themselves when they played baseball with the media, and that's part where it all comes from. But getting back to Hank, I think you're right. I think most people there are other guys that have hit more home runs, but for me, for everyone else, Hank is the home run king, period.
404-741-0929. Obviously, we'll see the Braves honor Henry Aaron probably in a multitude of ways. Mike mentioned the All-Star game is going to be here. I hope that we're able to be there. I say we as in fans. I hope we're at a point in the country where, you know, we're able to have more fans be a part of this kind of event, and especially with it being back in our city for the first time in a long time. And then obviously they're going to do something too, and I'm talking about Major League Baseball all season. So all those things are to be determined. Today it's just kind of just remembering one of the most iconic figures in Atlanta sports history and certainly in baseball history. So that's what we're doing today. But along the way, we will talk football. We'll talk about the Hawks again back in action tonight. Terry Fontenot, the general manager of our Atlanta Falcons, came on Andy and Randy today, Mike. And we'll replay that around 3:20. It was his first time to come on our radio station and talk with the guys. And, you know, they asked him a variety of questions. One of the things he said he was not going to answer was what he thinks about this roster. And it was not for the reason you think, because you think the roster's bad. He said he really doesn't want other people knowing what they think and evaluating our own roster. And he doesn't want to put that information out.
No, let's not go Billy Knight. I'm going to draft a running back, and I'm going to do it with the 4th overall pick, and I'm not going to accept orders to trade down. No, I mean, you're playing poker. It's a poker game. I mean, sometimes the media can turn it into something it's not, but in reality, though, there's no reason to show your hand. You know, even because these stories all come up, right, when we're talking about the draft in April. Earlier, Chief so-and-so's general manager said this, and that stuff that gets out there, and people assume that's your posture and how you're going to approach it.
So it tells you how ahead of the game Terry Fontenot is. I mean, again, being a new general manager, this is your ship now. I am the captain now. Okay.
I am the captain.
I am the captain. This is your ship. And when it's your ship, it's always different than taking orders and going, to turn the ship around. It's easier to take those orders than to make them. And so I thought this was brilliant today because, again, to Mike's point, if Terry Fontenot comes on our radio station and says, our backfield, boy, it's fractured. I tell you, boy, there's a lot of good bats in this draft. You've just told everybody that you're thinking about drafting a running back.
That could have been a bit now. You got me thinking. You know, I am the captain. You got me thinking about captain. Now, like if Dimitrov had tried to pull off the hijacking. You know that scene at the end of Captain Phillips where they got the guy and it's like, okay, all your friends are dead and now you're being arrested and you're going to America. All your draft picks are busts and now we need you to turn in your keys.
Love that movie, by the way. I love that movie. But that part, you know, but that's what we're talking about. So you'll hear Terry Fontenot coming up at 3:20 today here. We will do a shortened edition just based on all of our guests, Andrew Jones said to join us next hour as well. But with the circumstances today, we'll do a shortened version of Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home. That doesn't mean we're not asking you to send pictures and share with us, okay? We will tell you what we've got cooking for the weekend, but we'll do a little shortened version of that somewhere around 425-ish today. We'll tell you what we got cooking.
Cool.
All right, man.
I'm sipping on a little Appletons right now, man. I'm feeling a certain way today. I'm a very mellow fellow, but we'll have some fun. We got some stuff, as we said, in addition to paying tribute to the great Hank Aaron. We'll talk some football, too, as Carl said.
Absolutely, man. And by the way, this just in, Patrick Mahomes has been cleared.
Shocking.
From the concussion protocol, which means he's good to go.
Was there ever a doubt?
No. I mean, this just made it official. Right. So, hey, if you're betting on this game, Mahomes will be starting. Just letting you guys know. We got a lot more to get to, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, he retires. He was a guy that was linked to us, but it's not going to happen. And we'll talk more about the hiring that the Falcons did next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.